All right. So, Matthew chapter 1. I want to look at the faith of Moses tonight. There's little that we know of him that's spoken, but in what is not spoken, there's actually a lot said. So look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. And it says, we'll just focus on this one little phrase. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Okay, that's it. He's a just man. Awesome. Well, how much else goes into that? So let's look back into Malachi chapter 4 and set our scene. Joseph is living right into BC, before Christ. We're entering the New Testament. The end of our King James Bible ends with this verse here in Malachi, and it says, "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Old Testament ends with a curse. Now, the Jewish scripture, with the way it's laid out, and it's the Pentateuch, the way it's lined up in their scriptures, look at 2 Chronicles 36, 23. So Malachi is the last written word before we move into the New Testament, before Jesus comes on the scene, before John the Baptist, before all of that. And I want to just kind of paint a picture of Joseph when living. 2 Chronicles 36, 23 says, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord of God of heaven given me. And he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah, who is there among you, all of his people. The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up." So are people who, the Jewish people who are still following the Pentateuch, and there's so many different fractions and factions of Jewish people, that's where they end off. Okay, our next step, the Messiah is going to come, we're going to move into land, we're going to go conquer the land. So that's our two different pictures of scriptures, how they line up. So when Jesus came on the scene, or was coming on the scene, Joseph would have been looking at, okay, well, here's what the scriptures say, here's what we're expecting next. And that's all he had. We have 400 years between Malachi and Matthew with no written word, no spoken word, no prophecies, no dreams, nobody coming to a prophet and saying, this is what's going to happen next. There's no extra scripture. Joseph only has what's written the last or the past 39 books of the Bible. That's all he has to go by. He doesn't have any special revelation. And yet we see in verse 19, he is a just man. And go back, we're back in Matthew chapter 1. Let's look at verse 18 and get a little bit more of this. You know, we know it so well. We read it often. It's just common. But let's dig in a little deeper. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph," so they've started, they're not married yet, but they're engaged, so to speak. We know the Jewish custom there. "Mary was espoused before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then," verse 19, "Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example." That's what would have been expected. We go back in the law, there would have been, okay, well, Joseph would have been able to have, I have grounds, I can divorce her, I can end this ceremony, I don't have to go through with this marriage, legally by the word. And he's considering that. But he still loves her. It's like, well, I'm in this situation, you know, this is what I can do by the law, but I don't want to shame her, I don't want to hurt her, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put her away privately. We'll just end the marriage. That's it. Verse 20. "But while he thought on these things," so how do we handle situations? How do we, when something comes up, what do we do? Are we a doer first? Are we a thinker? Are we a prayer? I would encourage that for sure. Not that I'm a master of that whatsoever. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." As Christians today, God does not say he's going to take away fear from us. He doesn't say, okay, Your sins have been forgiven. You have a home in heaven. I've given you a Bible. You don't have anything to fear. No, fear is still going to be there. We're still going to be faced with situations and trials that we don't know what to do with. But we're still going to have to do that which is right. We're still going to have to follow God's word, even when, you know, it's the end of the tunnel, there is no light. It's just dark, but we have to go through it. We have to follow him. And that's what the angel is encouraging Joseph. Okay, you know, I'm just listening here. So to me, when I read that, I'm thinking, you know, Joseph, well, what am I going to do? This is this is not what I had planned. I'm just a normal guy. You know, we're engaged to marry. We're supposed to be married. And now this, what am I supposed to do with this? And then gradually he falls asleep. And then we have the angel come to speak to him. Verse 21, another man that was called Just, a little trivia here, since we're in for trivia night. Who else was called Just in the New Testament? What was actually Old Testament? 2 Peter 2:7, Lot. Right? We wouldn't think of him as just, but God still saw him. And, you know, if you read the righteousness of Lot's heart, not necessarily the actions of Lot, but Lot was found righteous in God's sight, believe it or not. Back in verse 21 here, the angel continues, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So, Joseph has this important task to do now. He's like, angel's saying, the Lord's saying, I want you to marry her. I want you, but Lord, now she's pregnant. It wasn't me. Now I have to deal with all this potential, you know, backlash, murmurings. She has to deal with it. I have to deal with it. How am I? So I reread this verse here where, let's finish in 22 here. Now all this was done that might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, God with us. So while the angel of the Lord is speaking to Joseph, he's using past God's word to encourage Joseph, hey, you get to be, this is what we're going to do, but this is God's word being fulfilled. You get to be part of it. You have that responsibility to obey, to marry Mary, and this is what you get to be part of. So I hope, to me, I would think that would be encouraging, but hopefully for Joseph, hearing God's word, which apparently he took in very high regard, being a just man, following the law, apparently that's what really stood out to him, and I hope that was, it seems like it would have been an encouragement to him. Next, so we see he's following the law, but then also merciful with the way he handled Mary. But then the Lord came through and just helped him exactly with instructions. Checking in my notes here to see what else I missed. Verse 21, I didn't miss this. Joseph had the privilege of naming Jesus. Remember, Zacharias, thou shalt call his name John. We've got Joseph, your responsibility. You get to name that son. You get to name that son of God. You get to name him Jesus. So we have Joseph also fulfilling a role of prophecy. Just as a common man. That's another thing with tradition is, I'm sure you've heard it. Tradition says Joseph was this ancient, ancient man and Mary was a teenager. I don't know if that's true. I know that's tradition, but I don't know if that's true. I wouldn't put too much stock in it, but I know that that's tradition. But we have Joseph being just a plain man that God could use, Mary just being a nobody that God could use, and they brought up Jesus into the world. 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, ignored what the angel of the Lord had bidden him. No, it says he did. And also it doesn't say, but Lord, what about, but I don't understand, but what about this? Maybe I can do it later. No, it just said he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. In the Jewish culture, even way back with them coming out of Egypt, the Jews require a sign. They're not going to believe unless there is a miracle, unless Moses said, I heard from God in a flaming bush, there's the 10 plagues of Egypt. We won't believe unless we see that. And here we have Joseph. Okay, you said that. I believe it. I'm going to do it. Verse 25. I think I missed a verse. Ah, okay. Before we do that, turn to John 8. John chapter 8. So he's obedient. He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. And remember, he's obeying. Angel said, fear not. But there are repercussions. Because it's still, Mary's still pregnant before they are officially married. So, in John chapter 8, which is one of my favorite chapters, you have the Pharisees and you have Jesus dialoguing back and forth. And eventually the Pharisees are getting angrier and angrier. And as children do, you get worse insults and you get petty insults. And this is what happens in verse 38. So this is Jesus speaking. I speak that which I have seen of my Father, God. And ye do that which is of your father, the devil. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, if ye were of Abraham's seed, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man which hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Okay, so they're referencing, Jesus referencing Satan. What's the next thing? Then they said, okay, they're trying to get all these insults. Well, you don't follow the law, and we follow Abraham. We're more righteous than you. Well, they can't combat anymore, so they just throw this insult at Jesus. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Ooh. This is when Jesus is 33 and a half years old. Do you think that rumor just started when he was 33? I don't think so. You know how people talk. We've heard people, maybe we've been those people, that chitter-chatter and we pass that gospel along. That happened way back when. Mary and Joseph had to deal with that. So there is a cost at times for obeying the Lord. Does that mean we shouldn't? Should we? And maybe, this is the thing too, sometimes we'll, okay, Lord, I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to obey. We can't, as humans, we can't see all the way, all the different consequences, all the different ways that we're going to have to stay committed to what God told us to do, what the scriptures tell us to do. We're just going to have to, I didn't see that particular instance of how hard this was going to be. I'm still going to obey you anyways, because I know you have what's best for me in the end. So that's something that stood out to me, and I just wanted to share that. Verse 25, and I want to kick some false doctrine here in verse 25. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. It's very important here with the term firstborn son, because in some religions, what is Mary referred to as? What, and not just virgin, but what? Perpetual, so ongoing. She couldn't have had any other children. We got a small problem here if you're not going by the Bible. And I listened to a podcast several weeks ago. This Orthodox guy was debating another more mainstream Christian. He said, there is no scriptural proof in the Bible that Jesus had brothers or sisters. Ooh. We're going to look at about five or six of them, if you don't mind looking at them with me. And we can even get to go back to the Old Testament to prove that. Psalms chapter 69. Mary was not a perpetual virgin. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, she did not defraud her husband either, which is all also following God's law. Psalm 69, verse 8 and 9. So we got prophecy of Jesus here. Verse 7, actually. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. That's hard. It's a hard thing, having to go it alone. Your family's not supporting you. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. The reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Verse 10, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. So we got right there, we got a proof of Jesus having other siblings way back in the Old Testament. Next verse, Matthew chapter 13. And these next two verses are a twofer because it shows that Moses was a carpenter, but also we get Jesus' occupation as well, which is, I find, very fun. Matthew 13, 55. And some, you know, it gives them their importance too, why we have four Gospels, why we must have four Gospels to give a complete picture of the life of Jesus. Verse 55 says, paraphrase. Jesus has just finished teaching in the synagogue in his hometown, and everybody's all amazed. Verse 55, is not this the carpenter's son? Ooh, the carpenter. So Joseph was the carpenter. Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph, Simon and Judas, that's four. That's just four brothers. And his sisters. Well, if we have an S on the end of sister, we have what? At least two sisters. So there's at least six siblings to Jesus from the perpetual Virgin Mary. That really was a miracle. So we have scriptural proof to go against false doctrine in this world that wants to tell you all kinds of lies and has captured a whole empire in false doctrine, in false truth, and has sent people to hell thinking, we're serving God. We're serving Mary. No, no, you're not. No, you are not. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Same reference, same thought, same storyline, but with a twist. Or just a little bit extra detail. Is not this the carpenter? Well, who's that? That's Jesus. So we find out Jesus was a carpenter. So not only did Joseph have the responsibility of naming Jesus, raising Jesus, but he also taught him a trade. And Jesus also, being subject to Joseph, learned that trade. But we see the mother, Mary the mother, James, Joseph, Judah, Simon, and his sisters. All right. One more reference just for the fun of it. We go from Old Testament, we go to Gospels, and then we wind up in the Pauline epistles. Galatians 1:19. Then after 3 years, they went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. So there we go. We don't know, you know, we know at least James. Maybe others followed Jesus more. They followed him for a time until, you know, it got a little bit too hot, until they didn't understand and they went away. But we got James at least following through, serving the Lord. And of Joseph in chapter 1 of Matthew, back to Matthew chapter 2. We're not done with Joseph just yet. There is more for him to do. Matthew chapter 2, we have the wise men coming to Herod. Jesus is a child at this time. It's been at least a couple years that have gone by. Verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw a young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. This is the second, with the first reference of Jesus being worshipped. That's a neat study all by itself. And they bring treasures, they present unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Verse 12, we have the angel coming to the wise men, three kings, and saying, don't return back to Herod. And then, verse 13, we have Joseph still in tune with the Lord, still following the Lord. A couple years have passed. Joseph is still in that relationship with God. And that's really what I want to bring across. Joseph, how is he was so faithful to the Lord. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And one thing, too, that sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot, is that if we would depend more and trust in the Lord more, if we would truly bring our burdens and leave those with Jesus. Instead, leave them there 5 minutes, there's no results. We take them back and try to figure them out by ourselves. If we could actually be in a state where we leave those burdens with the Lord, it takes a lot less thought out of what do I have to do? Where am I going to go? What do I have to think about? What do I do in this situation? How do I handle this? Joseph, I just see it. Joseph is in a state of prayer, a state of serving the Lord, that when God needs his attention, I've got some new information. Obviously, God doesn't work that way today. We have God's information right here. You need info, you need encouragement, you need comfort, you need wisdom, you need guidance, you need strength. God's word for today. At that time, Joseph, he needed those dreams from God. But that's really what stood out here. He didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to wonder. God said, we need you to take him into Egypt. Verse 14, once again, we see that obedience as well. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. And that reference is back in Hosea 11:1. So once again, we have Joseph being that part to fulfill Scripture. That's pretty amazing. Verse 16, we have Herod slaughtering the two-year-olds of all of Bethlehem. So when Jesus grew up, there was no other two-year-olds at that time. Once we have Jesus being 33 and a half years old, there's no two-year-olds that grew up. There's no other 33 and a half year old people from Bethlehem because they're all gone. Only Jesus made it through that. And could have that been something that weighed, once Joseph got that news, could have that been something that weighed on his mind? But still, God was working out the details to bring his son to be the sacrifice for you and me. Next, down to 19. Once again, we've got Joseph in tune. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. God said, I'm going to let you know when you need to get out of Egypt. Once again, Joseph didn't have to think about, well, is it time to go yet? Is it time to get out of Egypt yet? What do I need to do? No. God said, I'll let you know when it's time to leave. So for our daily lives as Christians today, if we're staying in God's word, if we're in prayer, if we're in fellowship with the saints, God's going to be able to speak to us and guide us as needed. But it's up to us to decide how much we're going to be in tune with him, how much we're going to be in fellowship with the Lord as to how much he's going to be able to get our attention. And Joseph, to me, stood out as being constant in this. 21. And he arose, once again, got the obedience, arose, took the young child and his mother, came into the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father, he was afraid. Once again, just because we're obeying the Lord doesn't mean there's not going to be times in our lives that startle us, that scare us, that blow us totally away, and we're left, God, what did you do? What happened? What am I supposed to do? It doesn't mean those things are going to go away. But did God ever lead Joseph? No. God was with Joseph the whole time and was there with him as well with wisdom and instruction as to what to do next. And reading that, it's not being afraid that is sin. It's what we do in the fear that is sin. I don't know what to do. I'm going to go to talk to this person. I'm going to do this. I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. That's where it becomes sin. But in verse 21, notwithstanding, so he's afraid, he's still afraid, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of the Galilee. He waited on the Lord. God came through with the rest of the instruction, and they go back to Galilee. Verse 23, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Four times in these two small chapters, we have prophecy being fulfilled. And I don't know if anybody else remembers how many prophecies are fulfilled in the New Testament of Jesus coming to earth. I think it's in the triple digits how many prophecies are fulfilled. It's insane. And that just gives you a proof of how God just wrote this Bible and how faithful He is. But just incredible right there, how Joseph's faith and what God was able to do with him. But we have just a little bit of extra information on Joseph. Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. There's just a little bit extra that we get about his life, how he handled himself, what his personality was like, and how faithful he was. So, one thing I forgot to mention, not only is it been 400 years since God spoke him, but there's been a few emperor changes throughout history as well. And, as you know, at this time, Rome is ruling over Israel, and there was a lot of zealots at the time who weren't really particularly fans of Rome ruling over Israel. And Joseph didn't get caught up in nationalism. He got caught up in serving the Lord. And he was faithful to the Lord. He wasn't Israel first. No, he was serve the Lord first and do what God tells me to do. Look at verse chapter 4 of Luke 2. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed. So, none of us like taxes, but if we're going to follow Romans 13, we're going to follow the laws of the land. And Joseph was also willing to do that as well. I'm going to follow the Lord, and also, to be the best servant of the Lord at this time, I'm going to pay my taxes as well. Which also fulfilled prophecy because it got them into Bethlehem to where Jesus would be born and fulfilled prophecy. If you had Joseph wavering on that a little bit, it would have messed up prophecy. I don't know how God would have worked that out. But we see how Joseph's obedience played into that and God was able to use it. Next, look over. We have Jesus born, 16 and 17. We have the shepherds. They have come to worship and glorify. And we have, 27. So they've come to Jerusalem because, once again, we have Joseph following that law. And to me, it's kind of similar to Paul or Saul, who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. We have his whole, all of his accolades in, I think it's Philippians 3, Paul saying, I was this, I was that faithful, I was a teacher. And you look at Joseph's life here, and it's like, we're going to follow this law, we're doing this correctly, and we're just going down the list here of what God's asked us to do. So they're at the temple, they're doing all the rituals God commanded for Jesus' birth, and they're here talking to Simeon. In verse 26. And it was revealed, speaking of Simeon, revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, keep that in mind, the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I love that. Just a few verses on Simeon, but love his faithfulness there. Verse 27, though, we have the parents of Jesus. Very important. Drop down to verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, speaking of Jesus. Very important here that in verse 33, it's not father. Because Joseph was not Jesus' physical father. God was Jesus' physical father. And in your new Bible versions, NIV, ESV, a bunch of them, they take Joseph out and replace it with father, which is a direct attack on the deity of Christ. So you start messing with the way the King James is translated, you mess up doctrine in God's Word. If you take and we demote Jesus from being brought about by God wholly, we have nothing to hope in. So even though it's, oh, it's such a small word. No. It's a huge thing that you can't mess with the way something's translated in the King James here. So you got that verse there. Move on next to... I had a second note for that. Oh, that's the thing true. Look at the end of that verse. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken. That's another thing with as we read these stories and we've read them over and over again, we look at their lives and we think, well, why couldn't Joseph and Mary have seen that? They're living it in real time. They don't understand what's going on. And we kind of think, well, what they really had, they had to know. No, they did not know. And even at the very end, they still couldn't quite comprehend. So for us to expect from God, well, Lord, just show me how this is supposed to end and how it's supposed to work out, all those details. No. First off, if he were to give us all that information, well, we would die and be in heaven with him because we couldn't contain it all because he's all knowing. But it's not good for us. We can't handle it here on earth. Next, look at verse 41. So once again, we have Joseph being faithful and following God's law. Now his parents went, once again, very important, the use of parents. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, and the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew it not. There you go, that's another correct usage there of Joseph. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding. We read that and say, well, yes, he's the Son of God. Duh. But consider that at the time. If you're a bug on the wall looking at Jesus and watching the Pharisees and Jesus go back and forth, it would have been quite the sight. Verse 48, when they saw, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Who's Jesus' father? God in heaven. Even Mary messes up a little bit here. And he said, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Now, it's not a dig on Joseph, but is a gentle correction. Mom, God's my father. But even with that, verse 50, and they understood not that which he spake unto them. Speaking of Joseph and Mary. Verse 51, and he went down, speaking of Jesus, and went with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. So boys, you want to be like Jesus? You got to be subject to your mom and dad. You got to obey your mom and dad. Right now, it's the best way to be like Jesus. That's what Jesus did. Verse continuing, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. So we've got Joseph being that stepfather, that parent of Jesus, and even Jesus being the Son of God was supposed to be subject unto him. And just an incredible story there of Joseph's faithfulness, his responsibility that God gave him. And then after that, he just kind of disappears off the scene. We don't really hear about him. This is the last reference. Well, not the last reference, because the last references would have been after Jesus had taught in the synagogue. But of him living, this is the last reference we have. Don't know what happened to him after that. But just digging through all those verses, that's what we come up with, is seeing his personalities, his faithfulness, and how God was able to use him, how he fulfilled Scripture, and what God was able to use him to do. We have, that was Joseph with only the Old Testament. We have God's fulfilled word. If you're saved tonight, you've got the Holy Spirit within you. You know for sure that you have heaven. We don't really have much excuse for not doing what God's asked us to do. We don't have any excuse not to trust Him. You know, well, it's too hard to pray. All those, whatever excuse, I have, whatever excuse you may have. Joseph was able to do it with 400 years of silence, only 39 books of the Bible to work with, and all these weird things coming at him. And he was still able to serve God, and God was able to use him. So what more challenge do you and I have to... It's even easier for us, ultimately. I mean, I can listen to a Bible app all throughout the day. I don't have any excuses not to be the best servant I can be for the Lord. So let's go ahead and pray. And Brother Eddie, do you want to come up here, or do you want me to end the service? All right. Lord, thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Thank you for everybody who's able to make it tonight, be it those who are sick and ailing, be it those who are traveling, be it those who weren't able to make it tonight. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you're able to use, whoever is a willing vessel, Lord. And I pray that all of us would seek to be more willing vessels for you this week to come. Be a pastor, and Miss Jessica, is there a way to keep them safe and enjoying their time, bring them back safe this from the trip, Lord. Be at school this week as well. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.